Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Susan Keogh sitting in for Sean Moncrief on the Sean Moncrief Show here on News Talk this afternoon. You can text us 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. You can also email us afternoon@newstalk.com. You'll also get me on Twitter at Susan Keogh News. Now, loads actually of texts coming into us on everything that we've been discussing on the show so far today. We were talking about the Gillette ad that is dividing opinion online today. This is the ad. They've changed their slogan from "the best a man can get, the best men can be." Lots of people unhappy about it. One text in here: men genuinely upset by that ad and boycotting Gillette. For Jesus' sake, they've little to be at. Fair play to them for trying to change. Wouldn't stop me using Gillette, but mind you, I've got a massive beard. And that came in from Jibby. Another one: so hang on, now when I teach my son how to shave, I need to lecture him on how to treat women at the same time. I've no idea what the world is coming to. I teach him respect on a daily basis and I don't need an ad to tell me what to do. That's good for you. And another one in here: toxic masculinity is an outrageously offensive, sexist insult to men. You, News Talk and Gillette, can stuff your anti-men attitude up your... And I just have a dot, dot, dot. That person didn't leave their name. But yeah, if ever there was proof that the Gillette ad might be needed, I think that text proves it. Toxic masculinity is outrageous, it is offensive, and it is sexist towards women. Another topic that we were discussing: fast food in the White House, the House of Carbs. You might have seen it earlier on because of the government shutdown. Donald Trump ordered in a load of fast food for a football team. One in here: the image of Big Macs piled up on a beautiful silver platter at the White House represents the ultimate debasement of a sacred American place. Why does this man continue to bring down the office of president with his tacky, horrible behaviour? That came in from Michelle. And another one here, a very practical text: all that fast food looks gross. McDonald's needs to be fresh, just out of the fryer. Those burgers and chips would have had to be ordered, delivered, would have had to go through security, and there were hundreds of them. They would have been stone cold by the time those poor people would have gotten to eat them. Think of all that rubbery, congealed cheese. And that came in from Shane. Another thing that we were talking about earlier on in the show was the Taoiseach's comments about the fact that he is going to reduce the amount of meat that he eats to try to reduce his carbon footprint. And Danny Healy Ray didn't agree with that. Another one in here: the Taoiseach's comments perfectly sum up the wishy-washy agenda of the liberal urban elite. He's demonstrated himself to be completely out of touch with rural Ireland, which depends on agriculture for its livelihood. That came in from Paul. Paul, thanks for your text this afternoon. And another one: there's no reason why a reduction in the consumption of meat and the continued success of agriculture cannot go hand in hand. It's time that Ireland's farmers realise that they need to move towards arable agriculture and start to depend less on meat production. The world is slowly moving towards vegetarianism and farmers need to follow suit. And that came in from Brian. We also have loads of texts in relation to Henry McKean's report about the Irish in London. We will get to them in a little while on the programme, but I want to move on to Tell Me Why on the Moncrief Show. And like every week at this time, Graeme Finlay joins us in studio. Graeme, welcome to the studio. Why do we faint? This is the question that we're posing today. And I have to tell you, I've never, ever, ever fainted. So tell us, why do people faint?
You're one of the lucky
faint?
Ones. Apparently, only a third of us faint.
Okay.
Normally, I mean, one of there's sort of two conditions that I might talk about today: fainting and being knocked out. And
okay, well, let's take the fainting
is a
first,
whole lot yeah. less serious than being knocked out. But only about one third of us faint, or will have a fainting spell in our lives. Which you'll people who have fainted, and I've fainted. I was an altar boy, and you know, one of the weirder things, I was dehydrated. One of the weirder things about being an altar boy, at least in my church, was that you got to finish off the communion wine if they made too much of it. There was too much consecrated
so
wine.
So were you drunk or did you faint?
I'm going with fainting as the story, right?
You know, stick to that story.
I was
Graeme.
Dehydrated. You know, I was young. Anyway. So most people have not, in fact, fainted. So I'm in the minority, and people who have fainted will recognize this. Your skin goes clammy. It might become quite pale. You'll start hyperventilating. You might sweat more. All of these are signs that you might be about to have a faint. There are things you can do to avoid it. If you cross your legs and sort of tense your muscles, you might be able to sit down rather than fall down. Because, of course, falling down straight to the floor can be quite dangerous. But what happens is your brain is being deprived of blood. and accordingly of oxygen. And the brain uses huge amounts of energy, you know, 30% of the body's energy. It doesn't store energy. And so it constantly needs to have blood pumped into it. And it, when you faint, it's because through a variety of reactions, blood is not getting to your brain quite suddenly. And your brain then shuts down to sort of conserve energy and stops giving signals to your legs, like stand up. So that's what causes it.
Yeah. Okay. So are certain people more prone to fainting than others? You'll often hear people say, oh, low blood sugar. Is that something that can cause you to faint?
There are lots and lots of causes of fainting, and most of them are quite innocent. Again, some people are more prone. Now, there's two kinds of fainting. So there's vasovagal fainting. It's called syncope in the medical terms, which is where the signal, the vagus nerve goes from your gut, basically, all the way up to the brainstem, and it controls huge amounts of activity in your body, and it sends the signal to shut down. And it's kind of interesting to see why evolutionarily we might do that. And it seems to be the basis in some people's triggers for fainting, which can be the sight of blood, fear, a shock. And again, all of this is very stereotypical of women. You know, if you look at all these, you know, Victorian melodramas or movies or whatever, you see women sort of fainting when they get bad news and things like that. Men faint for these reasons as well. But one reason why women might faint more is that they have less blood. A woman has 5 to 8 pints of blood in her body, whereas a man, typical man, will have 8 to 10 pints of their body. So when your, you know, body... It was, again, the other kind of fainting, which is okay, which you shouldn't worry about too much, is postural fainting.
So that's less serious than the other one.
Both of these are not too serious. What happens is you're out and you do lose consciousness, but for a very brief moment. You know.
Should you be concerned though if you faint a lot? Like, you know, if somebody faints maybe, you know, 1 year and then doesn't faint again for 2 years, I guess that's fairly anodyne. But like if you were to faint and then you were to faint again 2 or 3 months later, would that be something to worry about?
You should be concerned if you faint a lot. I mean, you should certainly get it checked out, right? So because vasovagal fainting, postural fainting, which is when blood pools in your legs, say you're sitting down for a long time and you jump up, you suddenly feel sort of lightheaded, right? Many people experience that. That can be occasion for people to faint because, again, a fifth of a woman's blood could pool in her legs if she's sitting down or standing for a long period of time. If you think about it, gravity is pulling all the blood in your body down to your legs all the time, and it takes work for it to pump it up into your brain. Both of these, you know, you'll be out for around a minute, for just a few moments. You won't remember anything, but you'll come to as soon as you have a different posture. If someone faints, you should try to get them to, or feels faint, they should put their head between their legs, or ideally lie down and have their feet above their head. Why? Because that's what the body wants you to do. It wants you to have the blood flowing into your head.
But it also prevents somebody from hitting the decks then as well.
It prevents people from hitting the decks. So if you're fainting a lot, and if it lasts for longer than a minute, then it may be caused by something much more serious, which is typically got something to do with the heart. So heart arrhythmia is usually the culprit. And if you're experiencing that, if you're fainting a lot, and again, if they're prolonged faints, if it's more than just a minute or so, you should go get it checked out. I mean, if you faint, it'd probably be good to get it checked out anyway, just to be safe. But if you do go see your doctor, if you're fainting a lot, they're going to be very curious about whether there are any sudden deaths in your family. Again, maybe you're swimming or a history of heart attacks at a young age. They'll be worried about having something to do with your heart, which is not getting the blood to your brain, right? And that is a much more serious cause. And it's quite rare. The vast majority of faints are temporary and they really aren't anything to worry about unduly.
When you say you don't remember anything, will you remember right before you hit the decks, or is that at the last kind of point that you'll
remember?
That's
a really good point. You do, in a case of sort of non-threatening fainting or, you know, faints you shouldn't worry about, you will remember what you were doing just before you hit the deck. In my case, drinking all the communion wine, right? And there was a priest there and everything. I just want to say, it wasn't me in the back room or something like that. If you don't remember the context of the faint, then again, that can be a sign that it's got something to do with your heart, right? And again, is another thing to get checked out.
So, Graham, I suppose the damage or the dangerous thing isn't necessarily the fainting, but it's the damage you can do to yourself if somebody isn't with you or you don't have enough notice to know, okay, I'm going to go down, I need to kind of get down low, or there isn't somebody with you who'll help you lie down. You could do yourself a huge amount of damage just falling.
That's true. And the real danger is from hitting your head on something. Mm. And that's why, now, again, in some faints, people sort of slump as opposed to just fall over.
Okay.
But, you know, again, you know, it comes on quite rapidly.
And if you're near something like the table here or whatever, even if, you know, I could slump over here now.
And this is in many ways sort of related to the problem about being knocked out. Being knocked out. I mean, so we see people faint in movies. It's okay. People shouldn't worry about that. I don't think people worry enough about being knocked out, which is, you know, just one symptom of the kind of brain damage which happens when you're hit in a certain way, or when you hit your body, your head hits an object or hits the ground.
So you lose consciousness when you're knocked out as well, yeah. But it's much more dangerous.
Much, much more serious.
Why?
So, I mean, again, I'm always struck by these movies where someone sneaks up behind the detective, knocks him over the head with a club or something like that. He wakes up 5 hours later, doesn't know where he is. Who's after me? I've got to think, right? That is very, very unrealistic and might make people think that this is okay.
That being knocked out is
right,
okay,
yeah.
And because, it's not.
I mean, think about this. Your brain, now, it's one thing to starve it of oxygen, which can itself be very, very dangerous. People who deliberately choke themselves have killed themselves by cutting off oxygen to their brain deliberately. But if you get hit in the head, you know, your brain is just like jello. And it's in a very hard container, your skull. And so it sloshes around and is banging off everything until the energy, which is being transmitted to your head, stops moving it around. And again, one important suggestion, some of you want to visualize this, you can get a glass container of Jell-O, fill it full of Jell-O, shake it around, watch it wobble around a bit, and you'll notice that there are tears and, you know,
breaks up
in the Jell-O. That's your brain when it hits something. And so most collision, you know, blows to the head actually don't lead to unconsciousness. That's why going around knocking people out in movies, you know, is a pretty chancy sort of thing, because the chance that they'll be knocked out is relatively low. You can get in fact, 90% of concussions, which is also a serious thing which needs to be checked out, don't involve unconsciousness. But so if you've been knocked unconscious, that's a serious thing and you should definitely get checked out. If it's under a minute or around a minute, most people are eventually okay. Most people are, you know, you should still see a doctor, right? If it's any longer than that, you should go to the emergency room. You should call an ambulance, because up to 5 minutes, it could be an indication of a concussion or a serious brain injury, right? Which could leave you incapacitated in various ways for a long time. And if you're knocked out for hours, your chance of surviving it is quite low. So for all those reasons, fainting is something we should take seriously. If you know that you have certain kinds of triggers for fainting, you should be aware of them.
What could those triggers be? Like, I mean, I'm thinking somebody who gets up and doesn't have any breakfast and then suddenly it's like 2 o'clock and they haven't eaten anything. If they faint, you'd expect them to faint nearly.
Dehydration is a big one. People have a tendency to faint in the summer, right? Again, that's what I'm pleading in the Ulter Wine case. Again, lack of food. Prolonged standing, it's amazing how many things can trigger a faint. Probably the most interesting ones are the sight of blood or a needle or a shock, right? But it can be everything. It can be coffee. It can be standing up. Men especially, it's quite common for men to faint if they stand up in the middle of the night and go and pee, and they'll you know, messy, I know. They'll faint in the middle of standing up and peeing.
So if you have a problem with this,
you should sit down to pee, right? Or you should take your time going to the bathroom at night. in any case, there are lots and lots of different causes.
Why are men more prone to that? When you said, because in general, women are more prone to fainting, right?
Yeah, indeed.
But men standing up in the middle of the night are more prone to fainting.
It's because they're standing up.
Okay.
Among other things, I think. the really interesting ones are the sight of blood. And one of the things which is an interesting question is, what is the evolutionary basis of fainting? What use could this possibly serve? Now, I mean, it allows you to conserve and your brain to conserve energy, which is good. It leads you to a state, whether you like it or not, where you're going to be prone and the blood is going to distribute itself more evenly over the body. So that's also good. But it can't seem to have been very helpful in a sort of combat situation in the Paleolithic period. And so there are various theories about it. One is that if you've sustained a really traumatic injury, right, like someone's cut off your arm or you're bleeding very badly, instead of having the fight or flight response, which starts pumping blood, right, it stops the flow of blood. It opens the arteries in the legs, which try to keep it in. It reduces your heart rate. And that will prevent you from bleeding out, because you could bleed those 8 to 10 pints of blood out very quickly if you have a very large wound. Another theory, which is about just fainting at the sight of blood, right?
Is or childbirth. I'm thinking of men fainting when women are giving birth.
Which frequently involves blood, right?
it does.
And, the one theory is that it could involve playing possum. Basically, right? If you saw blood, if you sustained an injury, you'll drop and you'll faint briefly, and you will no longer seem like a threat. And so whoever's attacking you may move on to something else.
Oh, so right? That could be.
Now, that's an interesting theory. Again, it's a relatively brief faint, so you'll have to be a pretty good actor. What's really interesting is animals faint, but they don't faint the way we do. So dogs faint, and actually in dogs, it's quite a serious condition. If your dog is fainting, you should get your dog
checked
out.
And how would you know, like what way does a dog faint that's different? Do they not just slump down?
Your dog is just going to go slump down just like everybody else. And your dog will be conscious throughout. Your dog will, they've done tests to show that the animals know what they are, where they are, and they're processing information. So they're not unconscious.
Okay.
But in dogs, it's almost always a sign that something's wrong with your dog and you should get your veterinarian to check it out. Playing possum is a very, very interesting behavior, which lots and lots of animal species do have. And actually, it's hilarious. If you look at pictures of animals playing possum, including possums, online, it's really, really great. These animals are conscious throughout, but this is a paralysis which automatically happens if they sense a danger. And they look like really hammy, bad actors. Like they're animals playing dead as opposed to looking like dead animals. It's really funny stuff. This is not fainting. This is the animals are conscious throughout. And of course, if the situation changes, they will get up and move around, right? My favorite fainting animal are Tennessee fainting goats, right?
Seen one of them, but I will Google image that as soon as
you do. And there are apparently videos of people like running up to a herd of these goats, waving an umbrella, and the whole herd will just fall over. Right. And these are goats which have been bred to faint. Now, the goats are conscious throughout. Again, they're animals. They don't faint. It's not a true faint. But the reason people bred these goats to faint is because goats are really annoying. If you have any experience of goats, they'll escape, right? They have a tendency to get out of the way, get out of whatever you pen them up in and so forth, and eat things and destroy stuff, and they smell bad and so forth. So if you have fainting goats, right, every time they try and climb over the fence, they get excited and they fall over, right? Another argument for breeding fainting goats is they have better meat, right? Because, they don't have they use their muscles more, they make their legs rigid a lot, and so there's more meat to the goat. And my favorite use of them is that they would put them in with the sheep, right? You could be able to tell your sheep from your goats. And if wolves come after your sheep, the sheep all run away and the goats faint. And so the less valuable goats will be eaten by the wolf and the sheep will escape. They're an actual breed of goat. It's something to see.
Graham, do children faint? That's not something you hear about.
Children are more likely to faint in many ways.
I never really hear of a child fainting.
Well, children can be overcome by lots and lots of things. I remember one of my sons was overcome by eating too many ice creams, right? I mean, children's bodies are smaller. And so so they, they're vulnerable to shocks. They're growing and developing. And accordingly, some of the regulation of which we do by ourselves, we regulate ourselves, but at the same time, your body system is doing, may be out of whack. I mean, one of the interesting things about our body systems is they're constantly compensating and they're not perfect in any way. And so I think children actually do faint. And if I was looking at the research, they actually might have a tendency to faint a little more often. They also, children can get knocked out. And again, I think it's really, really important when we think about being knocked out. Children really might be vulnerable to this mischaracterization of the lack of seriousness of being knocked out because they see it on Looney Tunes or something like that. And it's really, really important for children to know to report if other people get knocked out or if they get knocked out, even for the slightest amount. And that's a really important message to get.
Loads of fainting texts coming in here. One here, I hear Graham's description of how the brain is like jelly is making me feel very faint. another one, I banged my funny bone and I fainted with the pain. It wasn't a bit funny. That came in from Louise. Neve texted us to say, I fainted into the lap of another student in a lecture once. Might have been the start of a beautiful romance, but no, it was just embarrassing. And one in here. I used to faint all of the time. For some reason, I had very low blood pressure. I did mention that to you. It's very strange. One minute I would be walking down the street, then the next thing I knew, I would wake up surrounded by strangers. Thankfully, I haven't fainted in years. That, to me, sounds like my worst nightmare now. If I was on the Lewis or the train or walking down Grafton Street and I fainted and I woke up with strangers around me, I'd get a terrible fright. That sounds so frightening.
Yeah, I mean, it is frightening, and we don't like to lose control, right? Even for a moment, I think. I mean, I have to say, I had an experience where, it's a very long story, but a friend of mine fainted on Dame Street, and the reaction of the public was incredible. People from all walks of life in Dublin rallied around. There was a woman on her way back from a first aid class. It's really extraordinary how great strangers can be if someone's genuinely in need. And so I don't know if that's going to allay anybody's worries. But again, there are things you can do to avoid faint. If you feel those signs coming on, all those spots in front of your eyes and so forth, you can sit down, you can put your head between your legs, lie down if you can. Again, if you cross your legs, and tense your legs,
if you're on a plane,
wear compression socks. That's why fighter pilots wear compression suits to keep the blood distributed in their upper parts of their body so they don't faint when they're under extreme conditions in a fighter jet. So there's lots of things you can do to try and ward off fainting, and it sounds like the listener is doing that.
Okay, Graham, thanks so much for that. Actually, two texts just that we'll finish on. One here, my husband fainted in the delivery room. I think this is probably very common. All of the nurses tended to him while I was pushing away. I've never let him forget it. Our son is now 11. And finally, as Jerry Ryan used to say, there's nothing wrong with an old sitting down wee. And that is very true. If you do have any questions that you want Graham to answer, email us afternoon@newstalk.com. Coming up after the break, we'll be remembering...
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Bring Dolores O'Riordan 1 year on.